much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, it's Joe. You're going to want to hear this, man. You're dying to hear this. I'm changing my name to Bob Toe. So what do you think about that? Because change it to a Caucasian name, because I'm thinking, yeah, because I'm thinking about changing my name to Bob Toe.
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
And now,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
It sure is, Kevin.
Why?
It's always Kevin.
How come all idiots are Kevin?
I don't know.
We brought this up before, but man, has it been evident lately.
Now that it's been pointed out to me,
yeah.
I see the truth of it. It's everywhere.
It's absurd. Every time you're watching a TV show or a movie and there's a character named Kevin, he is Short Bus.
How did your parents know so long ago?
How dare you? But I've never seen anything like it. Once you notice that, then you start watching all of the shows. One of the biggest was Kevin on The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Just adult, just a dunce. and then that's when I started paying attention. And then every single Kevin is a loser.
It's true.
But that's great news. Mm-hmm. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. It's the 9th of September. We go to Grants Pass, Oregon for our first story this morning.
Okay.
State police arrested a naked man who was beating on cars and getting into fights at a Southern Oregon music festival that promoted the benefits of hemp.
Oh.
It was a weed fest.
It sounds like he was doing something else.
Agreed.
Doesn't it?
Agreed. That was my first thought was, why didn't he have some weed? Because you know who doesn't go around getting in fights and beating on cars? People who are high.
Maybe he wandered over from the meth fest.
That could be. I don't know. I didn't check if there was a meth fest next door.
Yeah.
Troopers went to the Jefferson State Hemp Expo, and there were people holding the naked man down on the ground. Troopers took him into custody. They said he kicked one of them several times and kept kicking when he was in the back of the car. Again, weed solves that.
Yeah.
Instantly. Medical personnel sedated the man, took him to the hospital in Grants Pass, and they said he was later taken to jail and held on charges of criminal mischief, menacing, assaulting a police officer, and resisting arrest.
You don't want a guy beating on your car. I know that for a fact.
Naked.
Especially if he's naked.
Yeah, especially.
This sounds like acid, an acid trip.
Something.
It's bath salt. Something way worse than weed.
Very bad trip.
So, if you're there, if you're at a hemp fest, go ahead and
partake, dude.
Partake. Help yourself.
Right.
Just calm down a bit. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Kurt Sutter.
Yes. Woo! He's the man.
From the Sons of Anarchy. The season premiere of the final season, season 7, is tonight. And I can't wait. It's 2 hours. I just found out in the other room that Dave sent me a link that I could have watched the first episode. And I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
And man, would I have liked to have seen that.
Ah.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I'm looking forward to it so much. Kurt Sutter will be here. We'll also take your calls for him as this series wraps up. It's the final season.
We've had some amazing series in the last couple of years
yeah,
that are wrapping up.
We have.
It's really been great for TV.
We sure have. Dexter was one of them, and mm-hmm. Breaking Bad was one of them, and now Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. And it's sort of interesting to have the heads up that this is the final season, because then you really pay attention to where are they going and how is it going to climax.
That's kind of a new thing. It used to be that you never did really know.
Right.
Shows didn't wrap up on their own. They just kind of got
canceled. They just got canceled, and they didn't get a chance to actually end it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
So he has a chance to end it, and it's going to be this season, and it looks like it doesn't look like there's less violence. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, good.
It looks like it's crazy. So that's coming up this morning. I can't wait for that. That's at 8 o'clock. We also have the Citizen of the Day. We have Adam Devine, mm-hmm. who has Adam Devine's house party. This time he is in New Orleans, and he bought a bar.
Oh, nice.
And he brings a bunch of his comedian friends with him, and they all drink a lot of absinthe. An absinthe might give you hallucinations.
That's Dave's favorite drink.
Dave loves it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love absinthe. and we have Gavin Rosdale on the program today from Bush.
Yeah, very cool.
Talking about his new album, which comes out in October, I want to say the 21st. So okay. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Ralph Garman's movie beat. We'll come back with Ralph Garman's showbiz beat next.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
A pair of passes to the Brickleberry Season 3 premiere party. Season 3 of Brickleberry premieres on Tuesday, September 18th.
16th.
We owe somebody some money.
I think that somewhere. Went well. We'll take five callers right now. 1-800-520-1067.
One caller!
I can't really do memory. Have you guys noticed?
You were reading it!
It's not memory.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
If by memory did you mean I forgot how to read?
How dare you.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
After all this time, how dare me?
Yes.
Come on now. That's what I'm saying. That's my defense is come on now.
That was fantastic.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Kevin.
Lisa, you're not helping. You just...
She
you
is
have
helping.
To just revel. There's nothing we can do. So you just enjoy the about, slide down.
How about someone just take him out back and rough him up a little bit?
Just beat me up?
Yeah.
All right. As long as I don't have to be taken out. Adam Devine on the way, Gavin Rosdale from Bush, and Kurt Sutter, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, on the way this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the Sut.
Is that his nickname, the Sut?
It is now.
All right.
You know who his wife is?
Yep.
Tell me.
Katie Seagal.
Ooh, look at you, how smart you are. Mm-hmm. Want to give everybody a heads up that Katie will be receiving her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Oh, that's cool.
Katie, who, of course... worked with her husband on Sons of Anarchy, is getting her star right next to a guy named Ed O'Neill's. He was on a show called Married with Children.
See what they're doing?
And so was Katie. Ed and Christina Applegate will be on hand to help unveil the star, which all happens today at 11:30 a.m., as you can imagine, in Hollywood. So if you want to check it out, you can go there and do that. Justin Bieber's off the hook in Toronto. Nice work, Canada.
What happened? I thought he was in trouble.
Anything right. He was. He was supposed to be in court yesterday to face assault charges for allegedly beating up a limo driver back in December who wasn't playing the music Justin wanted. But now the charges have been quickly dropped because, according to prosecutors, it's not exactly clear who did the punching. There were five other people in that limo besides Justin. So who came over through the partition there and after the limo driver? It's hard to prove. And because it is hard to prove, the prosecutors are going to have to drop the charges against
him. Plus, the judge said, look at Justin Bieber. How much damage could that guy do?
Yeah, there's like a fly, like, ow, and the neck bit the back of my neck. What was that? Justin's lawyers have been really busy because right now the only active case against Bieber is that arrest last week for dangerous driving and assault after he hit a photographer's car with his ATV. So, slowly but surely, they are knocking down the cases against Justin as he moves forward. But don't worry. They'll make some more work for some lawyers soon.
Yeah, he will for sure.
Grade A douche.
Taylor Swift has a new album out.
I'm sorry, who?
I'm sorry, Tadoff Switler. Evil succubus, daughter of Satan, Tadoff Switler. No ex-boyfriend songs on this new album.
What?
She's trying something different. But apparently she does go after another female pop singer. She told Rolling Stone magazine that the song Bad Blood is about another female singer that Taylor thought was her friend until last year when that person did something so horrible.
Ugh. She's so childish.
She is a 14-year-old girl.
I love that.
She, of course, won't reveal who the person is.
Or what they did.
But she
said, looked at me funny.
She said the girl tried to sabotage Taylor's last big arena tour.
How could a girl do that?
Who knows? Ugh. Someone drop a piano on Taylor Swift.
Cartoon death?
Cartoon death is the only possible answer. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Hugh Grant is 54 years old today. Adam Sandler, oh, a happy birthday to you. He's 48 years old today. Eric Stone Street. How much do we love Eric Stone Street?
He's only the best.
Let me say his name one more time. Eric Stone Street from Modern Family, of course. 43 years old today. Michael Bublé is 39. Actress Michelle Williams celebrates her 34th birthday. We have a bell in the house.
Yes,
there
we do.
Go.
My bad.
And DJ Afrojack is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a good show for you this morning, including Kurt Sutter from Sons of Anarchy. Very excited about that. Ralph is going to announce in a couple of minutes what new movie he's in.
Oh, cool.
Which, you know, he was in Sharktopus.
So this is something along those lines.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number. 24 hours a day if you would like to leave a message on any topic, including your weed.
Marijuana es delicioso.
Si, si, senor.
Si, si. Okay, now this is a this is a reference to every single time we play a clip, especially Bean says, "Hit it, Steve."
Yes.
There's never been a Steve, and I couldn't even tell you where he gets that from.
He got it from something, and I don't remember what it was.
Most of the time, it's me, Kevin, hitting the button. Sometimes it's Muggs, but it's never anyone named Steve.
Who the f*** is Steve?
Ask Bean.
Don't Steve to hit it.
Yeah, sorry, we don't, can't help you with that.
Is Miss Double December special needs?
Gonna be honest, I think maybe.
We tried to help.
Maybe. We did Dave Sanchez, who's the King of Mexico, Dave Sanchez, death judge. And he was, people would call up and ask him if they were allowed to be upset about celebrities or people that, that didn't know dying, and he would rule, and most of the time the answer is no.
I'm still convinced that the reason Dave, the King of Mexico, feels no sadness for any death is because he kills puppies.
I think that's true. I'm not sure. Lisa, this is for you.
Uh-oh. What the hell is it? Every time Lisa May goes to do traffic or do a commercial or something, she's choking. What the hell? Ask her to clear her throat prior to talking. And the 405 is...
All right, it's not every time.
It's been pretty good, though.
It's been more.
It's been 60%. Why are you always choking?
And I do clear my... You heard me last week.
Yes.
I hit the cough button and swore. I took the time to swear because I had cleared my throat before and then I still had a problem. Trust me, I try.
All right.
Hey, a few years back, Gene Simmons did a solo. Yeah, that's right. The mother plays a skin flute.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
good to know.
That's angry guy.
This question is actually to all of you guys, all of the party people there. I was wondering, do you guys just go home after you've done the radio show, or do you guys actually hang out, or is it like after you guys, you know, leave one another, are you just like, gosh, I hate that son of a bitch?
You want to answer that, Kevin?
It depends a lot on the day. There are times when we hate that son of a bitch.
Yes.
Most of us have a decent amount of conversation except for one member of the show who does not enjoy that kind of...
Right, but the rest of us hang
camaraderie.
Out chat.
Right, we'll go out to eat, we'll have fun, even on the road, you know, we'll meet at a restaurant, and I'll just leave it up to you to decide who's the person that wouldn't ever socialize with any of us be.
Yes.
So... I just said that. An impression of me.
So I thought I'd go on vacation in the state of Washington. I heard they have the world's biggest talking douche there. One of his quotes, you're pretty. I'm a douche. Click, 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 said his mouse.
Worked in the mouse and everything.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
You say goodbye, but Bean says, hello. Hello, hello. Bean is creepy, but he says hello to everyone. Bean, you're friggin' creep. Fire beer mug. Hello, hello.
I feel like this is...
Shut up, Bean. Fire beer mug, too.
I feel like that was rambling. I feel like that was not focused.
We don't expect that from our listeners, do we? Focus.
And finally, we do a... We all have a joke where somebody says something that's part of a lyric. And then somebody else on the show finishes the lyric, and it's always, it's sometimes funny, most of the time not very.
Right.
But this is Kevin, and I can't really play that game because I don't know lyrics, but I tried it one time.
So Bean says to Kevin, he says, Kevin,
if I could give you one piece of advice, it would be, and Kevin responds with, wear sunscreen.
See, because you remember the song?
Yes, of course I do.
It was a song where the guy said, if I could give you one piece of advice, wear sunscreen.
Yeah, it was a big song.
Right, and nobody laughed and zero people got it, I think.
Well, I'm laughing now.
It was a total fail. Thank you, Lisa.
Wear sunscreen? Come on! Wear sunscreen!
I'm just, it was part of
the... Did you not know the song?
Kevin!
It was a...
You funny...
It was a...
Oh, my God. Wear sunscreen.
You know what? He may have gotten it and not thought it was funny.
Well, that's possible.
That's very possible.
That happens all the time.
All right. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You know that we love bad. We love bad movies.
Yep.
And
yes.
Ralph was in a movie called Sharktopus.
Well, that has nothing to do with bad movies.
Right. This is a great movie.
You're damn right it is.
But it's in
it's
the
a classic.
It's in the category of ridiculous.
I will walk the F out of this
movies.
Studio.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
You say one more word about that classic film.
That classic film was about a shark mixed with an octopus.
That's right. Half shark, half octopus, all monster.
Does that happen?
It does if you have a mad scientist working for the Navy like Eric Roberts. Yes, then it does.
So that's awesome, first of all. Second of all, Ralph is now going to be in a new movie.
I have just accepted a role in a brand new film that we assume eventually will be on television. It's a small independent film that we're assuming will be on a television network.
And it's in the same vein of... Sharktopus, where there's
it is. Well,
animals.
You have to understand, this comes from a long line of these kind of films. I mean, Sci-Fi Network, or Sci-Fi Channel, had a long string of those films, even before Sharktopus sort of became a pop culture phenomenon.
Well, you brought it back, I'd like to say.
Well, yeah. Look, we had a little bit of success with that film, which then spawned Sharknado. Which followed, but Sharktopus was from a long line of sort of animal hybrid movies where they would take two animals and put them together. And Sci-Fi had a bunch of these beforehand, even. Like Mansquito was one of my favorites.
So that was half man, half mosquito?
Sure.
Which half was which? How did that work? Did he have wings? Did he have tiny little legs?
No, it was a man-sized mosquito,
okay.
Basically.
All right.
But then Sharknado took it another step, and they started combining creatures with natural phenomena.
Right.
They took the tornado and the shark and made Sharknado, which was a brand new step.
Right.
In the process.
Now, which step is this? Are we doing animal-animal or animal-nature?
Well, we thought it would be fun if we took phone calls from people who would try to guess what creature will be represented in the new creature feature that I am a part of.
Okay, so we can't say that. Title of it, but we can't
talk
about
the creatures.
Well, as of
right now, the working...
Sorry, you don't say it.
If I give you the title, it's going to give away, I think, part of the hybrid. If we
don't
really
do
wanna,
that.
If we want to play this pure and have people just guess.
That's what I want.
All right, I'll tell you the title in the next break. We'll
at the
talk
end.
About
okay.
that. I'll expose the actual creature that I face, the name of the film, and my co-star, who will be my co-star.
All right,
you won't believe all three of these, by the way.
Okay, awesome.
Your head will explode on every level.
I am already excited about this. When is it going to come out? Is it coming out Friday?
We have yet to start filming it.
Okay.
But we start filming soon, and I'm very excited to say that the director is the same man behind the classic film Big Ass Spider.
Oh, sweet.
Mike Mendez, the director of Big Ass Spider, is also directing this film, so we're very excited.
All right, I'd like to start the guessing, and then if you have a guess, you can call 1-800-520-1067. I'd like to guess Liz Boone. Half lizard, half baboon. Liz Boone.
Liz Boone?
Yes.
Hmm.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that was it?
Liz Boone.
Is it?
Sounds like the name of a waitress at like a bar in the valley.
So it's not Liz Boone?
Liz Boone, can we get some more cocktails over here by any chance? I don't think Liz Boone automatically screams monster movie when you
Look,
hear it, Kevin.
I'm just guessing.
I appreciate your
Can
effort.
I do one?
But Liz Boone, again, sounds less like a monster, more like somebody who works at Marie Callender's.
So, all right. Lisa
not,
has
not
a
Liz Boone.
Not no. Liz Boone.
Lisa?
I have Beavaconda.
Beavaconda. I like that. Beavaconda.
That's a vagina.
No.
What?
No, I'm sure at least means it's a beaver and an anaconda mixed.
That could be scary.
Well, you know, we have had Piranaconda. Remember that? Piranaconda.
Yes.
Oh,
was
yeah.
On Sci-Fi.
So is Lisa right?
Yeah, she is not right.
Think about that for later, though.
Piranaconda. Megapython, Gatoroid. These are all actual monsters from sci-fi.
Taraka puppy.
Taraka puppy.
Taraka puppy. What would that be exactly?
I don't know.
A puppy mixed with a taraka?
Yes.
What is a taraka?
What's a taraka?
Are you thinking about it like a pterodactyl?
I don't remember what I was thinking at the time.
You're stoned. What
I don't
is
even know what that is.
What's a taraka?
What is a taraka?
All right, how about this one? How about
sounds good, though.
Totophant.
Totophant?
Yes.
A part toad.
Part elephant.
Part elephant. A totophant.
Yes.
Hmm.
Pretty strong, right?
I don't see how that would be scary.
A giant elephant that could hop, though, maybe?
Right. The elephant could hop and land on your head, right?
Or a small toad with a trunk.
It's the other way.
Either
you could
way,
go.
That's
really
less
say,
scary.
I'm not impressed.
All right, we have some listener guesses. Rich is in Thousand Oaks. Hi, Rich.
Hey, spider rat.
Spider rat.
Ew, things that people really get creeped out by.
Two creepy things
together.
Yeah.
Ralph, are you going to be in spider rat? Or is this one? I guess we're trying to guess some of the animals that are in your movie, not the name of the movie, correct?
No, I can tell you the name of the creature.
The creature, right.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you the name of the creature. I will eventually. But if I tell you the name of the film,
right.
I think that'll give you too much of a hint towards what the combination is.
Is either a creature or the name of the film Spider Rat?
No. I can tell you right now there is no Spider Rat.
Sorry, Rich.
Would that be like big, hairy spiders with tails and rat heads?
I don't know. I feel like they're not disparate enough, those two.
Yeah,
it has
exactly,
to be like a little bit different.
I mean,
all right, let's go to Gary in Simi Valley. He's got a guess. Hi, Gary.
Okay.
Hi, how you doing?
Very
Hi.
Good.
Name of the name of the creature I face in my new creature feature, Gary. What is it?
It's Snakeadillo.
The Snakeadillo.
Snakeadillo is awesome.
That would be awesome. Half armadillo.
Armadillo. Yeah.
Half snake, half armadillo.
That's a good one.
When you scare
it's
the
armored,
snake,
you know, so you can't kill it.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it rolls up in a ball when you scare it.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of a drawback. No, Gary, it is not the Snakeadillo, but I appreciate you playing.
We should have a
prize if anyone guesses what it really is. We should give them a prize.
What prize could we give?
I don't think there's any danger of that happening.
But
I'm
just saying we're going to nail it.
We should dangle that in front
of
them.
I have more confidence in our listeners than that.
All right, if you say so.
How about Sharkle?
Half Sharkle?
Half shark, half squirrel.
Sharkle. No, I can
Come
say it
on.
All.
I was positive that was it.
Say with all.
All right, let's
all
go.
Assuredness, it is not the sharkle.
Let's go to Danny. Hi, Danny.
Morning, buenos dias.
Buenos dias,
Danny. What creature do I face in my new creature feature?
I say it's bear shark.
The bear shark?
Bear shark. Wow,
that would be terrifying.
Two terrifying animals.
But no, sir, not the bear shark. Good guess, though.
All right, let's go to Steve at Azusa. It's funny how many guesses our listeners have already.
Yes.
They love this.
Look, I hope someone's listening and writing these down and furiously cranking out scripts because you can't have too many of these kind of movies.
Steve,
hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
What do you got, Steve?
Awesome. All right, I nailed it, so I want to know what the prize is.
No, well, that's an important thing because
we should come up with something.
How
about you be my date to the premiere of this film when it comes
out?
Oh,
nice!
All right?
Awesome, I got it.
But hold on, you have to put out, Steve. As long as that's cool, then let's move forward.
Okay, I'm in.
All right. What's the creature? See if you got it right.
It's Cacosaurus. It's half rooster, half brontosaurus.
The Cacosaurus? No, I'm sorry, Steve.
That would be awesome.
You will not be accompanying me to the premiere.
Come on.
Indeed.
No.
Humming whale.
The humming whale.
Half hummingbird, half whale.
Wow.
It could fly.
It's a whale that can fly?
Well, it would try to fly.
And sort of hover over you and just sort of buzz?
Exactly. All right, we need to take a break, but we have so many more guesses. Are we in the ballpark? Has somebody mentioned one of the animals that is involved?
Not yet.
Oh.
No,
but I will give you this much more of a hint.
Okay.
Like the creatures, sharktopus, there is a creature hybrid nature to it.
Right.
But like Sharknado, there's also a natural phenomenon aspect to it as well.
Oh, are there three in one?
There are three in one creature.
Good
Lord.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for that type of
There's a natural phenomenon. A natural phenomenon, an act of God sort of thing, like a tornado and Sharknado.
All right.
As well as a creature as well.
All right. We'll take a break. 1-800-520-1067. You will tell us at the end of this.
I will tell you. I'll tell you the creature I face, the name of the film, and who my co-star is. All three of those things will delight and terrify you.
Can't wait. We are very, very close to zeroing in on Ralph's new project.
Yes.
It's a sci-fi type movie. It involves...
It's a creature feature.
A creature feature. It involves two animals, and we just found out also some type of nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like Sharknado was a shark and a tornado.
I'll say actually it involves two terrifying acts of nature in one animal.
Oh, that makes it so much harder.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I'll give you an example. Like, for example, this is closer. This is closer. Mark Armour writes in, Squidnami.
Squidnami.
Half squid, half tsunami. That's sort of you're on the track. Sarah Bustamante writes, tsunami and narwhal and whale equals snarm whale.
That doesn't have a ring to it.
Snarwhale. Raptor tiger quake from Chris. These are all in the wheelhouse. They're all in the ballpark.
They're close. All right, let's try Steve in Torrance. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, party people.
Hi.
What project is Ralph in?
Well, you just threw me a curveball because I was going to say rhinopotamusicane.
Rhinopotamusicane?
That's pretty good.
But no, sorry, Steve.
Mm.
These are all, people should be writing these down and writing scripts furiously for all of these.
Yeah, no kidding.
Outstanding.
Let's go to Ian in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Good, Ian. What do you got?
I was going to say the scorpion.
Scorpion.
Scorpion's pretty good.
From both sides.
Scorpion and porcupine together. Scorpion.
I like it.
I like that one.
No natural disaster, but.
I might turn that in development. I might actually have to.
How about the flea-lephant or.
What happened now?
The flea elephant bird. A flea.
Did you have a stroke?
An elephant and a blizzard. No, it just didn't work very well together. It was just hard to make
work. Flea elephant
bird. Rick in North Hills.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What do you got, Rick?
How about the polar wave?
Polar wave.
So you got a polar bear and a...
Polar bear and tidal wave.
That just sounds like a cold wave.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it doesn't work at all.
All right.
Rick, you fail.
Yeah.
Well, this is difficult.
He's not welcome here.
The answer that you're going to give us is absurd too, right?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Okay, good.
It's maddening.
Kyla in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi. How about the lion thon?
The lion thon. It's a lion and a python?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're raising money for a lion rescue.
It does, that's true.
The lion thon. Keep the phones calling in.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's see. Let's go to Cash. I think he may have it.
Cash.
Hey, Cash.
Hey, what's up, Alisa?
Hello.
What project is Ralph in?
Snyder Hail. Snakes, spiders, and hail.
Snyder Hail.
Snyder Hail.
That's pretty good.
Sounds like a university.
It's not bad. Thank you for the call. Are we getting close?
I got a degree at Snyder Hale.
Anywhere close?
No. Okay. None of you are close.
Not even close?
No, not even close. You haven't even tapped into one of the natural phenomena yet. Hasn't even been mentioned. And we've been dancing around sort of the creature. Actually, Lisa off air actually came up with the creature.
Oh!
Yeah. But she couldn't pronounce it on air. That's why she's bad.
Oh,
that's why she's
I am
horrible.
Bad.
What about the guppy rilla lanch?
The
guppy rilla lanch.
The guppy rilla lanch?
Uh-huh. Guppy?
Uh-huh.
A gorilla?
Uh-huh.
And an avalanche.
I'll tell you, one of those elements is in the name.
Yes!
You're close.
One of those is in... One of those. Gorilla? Probably avalanche. I'll probably go with avalanche.
I think so, too.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to Paul in Los Angeles. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Well, I had crococane, so half crocodile hurricane.
Crococane's pretty good.
Crococane's pretty strong, Paul.
That's not bad.
But
right.
Unfortunately, that is not
nothing
the case.
Nothing in there?
I'll tell you right now that avalanche, Kevin, you're right.
Avalanche is
somewhere in the mix.
Does it end in lanch?
No.
Okay, so it's more the beginning of the word?
It's the middle.
Middle, okay. Ol? That's the middle of avalanche.
Well, I can't say anything because I said it off the air.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Right. Jenny in Santa Monica.
Well, mine doesn't have a natural phenomenon, but porcupotopus.
Porcupotopus is pretty good.
Or hippopotaplague.
Hippopotaplague?
Ooh, that's good, too.
That's pretty good.
She worked in plague.
A plague of hippopotamus.
That's awesome.
Of hippopotami. I love it.
Whoa. So avalanche.
Can we go to Emily, number 8?
Yes, we can.
This is the most terrifying one of all.
Yeah. Emily, hi.
Hi.
What's your creature, Emily?
Okay, Mine has, like, a force of nature embedded in it. It's a bear mug.
Bear mug.
Bear mug? What's that a mixture of?
Well, bear mug, of course. Yeah. And he hides in bushes, and then he'll, like, run around and, like, eat everything and drink everything in your house.
Sure, he eats all your food?
Oh, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah,
what a nightmare.
Scary, huh?
Bear mug is the worst.
I like that. That's pretty good.
At the end, they have to fire it. That's how they get rid of it at the end of the film.
That's the big climax?
That's right.
All right, Ralph.
All right.
What are you going to be in?
Should we pull it back?
We have a lot. I mean, we have Roach Quake on hold. That's James.
Ooh, Roach Quake.
Wow, actually, Kyle in line one is the closest one so far.
Well, then
very,
hold on.
Very close.
Hold
He's on. Only missing one element.
Let's go to Kyle then. Hi, Kyle.
What up, Popo's Al, Lisa May?
Popo's Al.
What is your guess?
Lisa's panties. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong answer.
Wow.
Avalanchula.
Avalanchula?
Avalanchula.
I'll have you know, Kyle, Avalanchula. That is two. That is
what?
Two out of the three.
Nice.
So tarantula is one of them?
Avalanche is one of them.
Yes.
Tarantula is the other one.
Okay. Yes. All right.
But in this film that I am in, let's turn over all the cards. I am going to be starring in a film called Scorched, which is where I take on a deadly creature known as the Lavalanchula.
Lava.
The Lavalanchula, a giant spider that comes spilling out of a giant avalanche of lava.
Wow.
When volcanoes throughout Los Angeles start to erupt and explode.
All of the volcanoes in Los Angeles?
After a series of major earthquakes, all the volcanoes start to rise up and lava spills out into the streets. And in the avalanche of lava come these giant fire-spewing tarantulas. They are Lavalanchulas.
That's awesome.
Lavalanchulas.
Can't wait.
In Scorched, where I co-star with the hero of the piece who will be taking on the Lavalanchulas.
Yes.
Mr. Steve Guttenberg.
Oh,
what?
Steve Guttenberg.
Yes.
He's one of your heroes.
Me and the Goots. Me and the Goot fighting Lavalanchulas in the streets of Los Angeles.
Lavalanchula.
So that's the new film. I will be battling Lavalanchulas in Scorched alongside of the legendary Mr. Steve.
And
Gutenberg.
When could we see? Do you have any ideas? Like spring of next year?
I have
fall?
No idea. I have no idea. We start filming shortly, and then you got to sell the thing and all that stuff.
It should be
on your TV, hopefully this fall.
This fall. That would be awesome.
Sometime.
All right. Very exciting.
Lavalanchulas.
Very exciting.
Beware the Lavalanchula.
I want to see Lavalanchula right now. Right this second.
Why not? Venus America.
Morning, everybody. It's a Kevin Abid show at 6:55 coming up just after the top of the hour. From Bush, we're going to talk to Gavin Rosdale. We also have Adam Devine in the studio. And an hour from now, Kurt Sutter, who's going to be here talking about Sons of Anarchy, which comes back for the final season tonight.
How about that?
That's cool.
Can't wait.
And his lovely wife, Katie Sagal, getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this
morning.
That's
right.
Big day for Kurt. What's he doing with us when he's got to hold her hand and get her there to Hollywood?
I always wonder that.
Yeah. He's got important things to do. All right, let's talk about show business news with the Showbiz Beat. Avicii has canceled his entire upcoming tour.
Wow, why?
Apparently, he does not feel good. He had his gallbladder and appendix removed back in March, and he still hasn't been able to get quite back up to snuff. So he will hang out at his home in Stockholm and rest up. He said he'll be releasing a new album before the end of the year. But in terms of performing, it's just too taxing, so he just needs to get well. So he will stay at home in Stockholm, which is crazy because he's Italian. Hey, what am I doing here in Stockholm? Hey, give me some pizza pie and a meatball and my Vici. Hey, how about me? Looking over here at my Vici. What's the matter with you?
He's Swedish. He's always been Swedish.
Well, that's a silly name for a Swede.
Well, I can't help you with that.
I can't help you with that either. Hey, it's new release day. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Here's what you can pick up if you're so inclined. Dream Your Life Away by Vance Joy. Had Vance on the show yesterday.
Yes, we did.
What a nice dude. Get a CD.
He plays a ukulele.
He does. He plays the uke.
The uke, as he calls it.
That's right. Goddess by Banks also drops today.
By the way, if I could just butt in, Ralph, I'm
yes.
sorry. Yes. The performance that we had from Vance Joy is up at krock.com. So check that out. Back to you.
Goddess by Banks. El Pintor by Interpol. Crush Songs by Karen O. I love Karen O.
Karen O.
Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar by Robert Plant. Ryan Adams by Ryan Adams. Really? You're just getting around to the self-titled album, Ryan, after all these years?
Hasn't he been around for a long time?
Long time.
Yeah.
Title was an EP by Meghan Trainor. All Together Now by Better Than Ezra, and The Physical World by Deaf From Above, 1979. You can check that out. DVDs available today. Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Ah, so good.
Available on DVD and Blu-ray today. Brick Mansions with Paul Walker and RZA. And God's Pocket with Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of his last performances. John Slattery is also the director of this film from Mad Men. Christina Hendricks also in it. I love this film. It's available. TV shows on DVD. Homeland, yes. Season 3. Supernatural, Season 9. Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 1's available. Vampire Diaries, Season 5. Blue Bloods, Season 4. That show's been on for 4 years.
Do you know anyone else besides the King of Mexico that watches that?
My dad.
Oh, your dad does.
My dad likes it. All right. My dad likes those CBS dramas.
Sure.
Oh, it's good. You'll like it.
Is that your dad or Dave?
That's Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. And The Goldbergs, Season 1 is available. Check that out. Congratulations to Neil Patrick Harris and David Burtka. Longtime couple finally made it to the altar after a decade of being together. They got two kids together. Now they're officially married. They got married in Italy. Congratulations to those guys. Speaking of marriages, Fran Drescher got married again.
How?
She met a guy named Shiva Ayadurai.
Okay.
Got married last weekend in their Malibu home. She, of course, was the star of The Nanny. Shiva invented the email.
What?
Yes.
Whoa.
He invented email. What he did with his life.
It's so
what have you done with your life?
It's so funny because.
Not that.
Yeah.
You think of something you use every day like that, you just think, well, it's been around forever. No, not one person
came up with it.
Email.
He holds the patent on email.
Wow.
How do you like him now?
Much better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, Dave's crush, his girl, Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Not a good deal.
Oh, really? She looks like a good deal.
She's lovely and she's talented.
Yeah.
But she is apparently a real pain in the ass.
Ew.
She just walked out of an interview photo shoot in Australia this week. Apparently she has quite the list of things she will not talk about in an interview.
That's always fun.
She is quite the diva. No relationships or dating questions. Isn't she dating Big Sean?
I don't know.
He started dating her after he broke up with the girl from Glee.
I think that's what happened. Yeah,
cannot talk about the TV show Sam and Cat.
What?
Or Jeanette McCurdy, her co-star from that TV show. Can't bring that up. It's the only reason anybody knows who you are.
What?
Can't bring it up.
What are you allowed to talk about?
Can't talk about her collaboration with Justin Bieber. Can't talk about her grandfather's death. All photos must be shot of her with the left side of her face in artificial light. Can't use natural light, can't shoot the right side of her face.
She's hiding a few things.
She walked out of an interview in Australia when they dared cross one of these boundaries.
Look, we do a lot of interviews here, and occasionally, really once every 6 months, a PR person will come in and say, you know what?
You can't.
This is a recent breakup or whatever, if you guys wouldn't mind.
You know how he got arrested for shooting that dude? Yeah, don't bring that up. I mean, big things they'll ask us.
And once every 6 months. It's not like this. This is crazy.
Yeah, it used to be you had to do something in order to be able to make those kinds of demands.
Right.
You had to be somebody first before you got to be a bitch.
Wow, that's crazy.
She's a bitch. So, yeah. I don't like her anymore.
She's a bitch.
She is indeed. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant is 54 years old today. Adam Sandler is 48. Eric Stone Street, 43 years old.
Love him so much.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Huge Kings fan. See him there every single game.
And he listens to this show on occasion.
He does every once in a while, yeah.
Nice of him. Michael Bublé is 39. Michelle Williams turns 34. And DJ Afrojack celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is New Bush.
Yes.
And the song is called The Only Way Out. And we have Bush lead singer Gavin Rosdale on the phone. Hi, Gavin.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Great. Always good to talk to you. Appreciate your time.
Always good to talk to you. It's so fun to hear the song on the radio. And so excited. And thank you for playing the world premiere of it.
Tell me about The Only Way Out, that song.
Basically, you know, as the way that I see it, it comes from the record Man on the Run. Man on the Run being this concept of all of us, a cross-section of all of our lives, trying to fit everything in, trying to be successful, trying to be the best we can, and the challenges that go with that for guys and girls. And the only way out is through being the uplifting concept of the way that I try and do it.
Now, this I'm sorry, go ahead.
There you go. It's, please.
Oh, this album, Man on the Run, comes out October 21st. It's coming considerably faster than the last one, which took, well, what did you, like 10 years off?
It didn't, it was seven years. But the thing is, I did Institute, and you guys played that record.
Yes.
And that was a fantastic detuned band. So I did a side project, and then when I tried to do Bush again, a couple of guys didn't want to do it. So I did the solo record by default. That maybe wasn't perfect for K-Rock, but it found love elsewhere, which
fantastic.
Was sad. But so that did great. So then when I went to do the Bush record finally again 3 years ago, and then was touring it so much, I wanted to consolidate that and make people know that I'm back. I'm not, it's not, not a nostalgic hit and run. I'm like, this is my life and my job and what I love to do. And so made this record, and I'm really proud of it.
How difficult and or easy was it to write these songs?
I was really inspired having been on tour, having, seen it, all the fans again, having had the great response to The Sound of Winter. We had the number one song with that, the first self-released song ever to do that. So I was pumped, and I was energized and inspired, and I love music, and I think I've gotten better. So I just, you know what I mean? I loved making it. It was really enjoyable.
I read someplace that you read that you made some of it at Dave Grohl's studio, Studio 606.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. He, he's a good friend, and he has a great studio, and let me come and record there. In fact, he made the Sound City movie, and I was telling him after the fact that Bush was the last band to record on the Sound City desk. We did the whole of the Sea of Memories on that desk, and but we didn't make the movie because it's sad. We missed the cut because I don't think he knew about that.
Oh, I see. And, so you're saying you're the last band that recorded there before he bought the equipment and brought it over to his place.
And then he brought the equipment over to his place, and I did the record with a guy called Nick Raskulinix, another great guy called Jay Baumgartner. But Nick helped. Nick did 9 songs, Jay did 5. Nick built that studio with Dave, so he knew it really well, and it's an incredible facility, incredible sounding room, desk, everything. And he said, we got to go record at Dave. So we asked Dave, and Dave was like, sure, come in there. And it's like hallowed ground to me. I love Dave. I love the Foo Fighters. They're an incredible band. Obviously, like everyone on the planet, loves Nirvana. So just to be in that space and to be allowed to record there at a friend's private personal studio was a real privilege, and I'm really grateful. And it made my guitar sound great.
Is Dave Grohl the coolest man alive?
He, apart from your good self and Kevin Weatherly,
sure.
Yes, he's the third coolest
third
man
best.
In the world.
Yeah. The album Man on the Run Again comes out October 21st. We just played the new song, The Only Way Out. You, since we've seen you, I've seen in the press that you're going to join The Voice with your lovely wife.
Yeah, I did. I did some. What do they call it? It's not mentoring.
Mentoring.
I think they call them advisors now. Everything's PC is going crazy.
Yes,
whatever.
It is.
But I'm advising, and I did that. I already shot it, and I did it with her, and she's so incredible on it, and I'm so proud of her. She's doing an amazing job. People are going to freak out because she's so authentic and comes from such a great lineage of coming up and being one of the biggest stars in the entire world, a complete icon, that she can impart so much great knowledge, and she has such compassion and kindness that she does it in a great way. And as ever, she looks $1 million.
Well, that's the thing. She looks great. She's a great lead singer, and she seems like the best. When she would come into the studio, she would bake us chocolate chip cookies and bring them. I mean, who does that? That's absurd.
Right. She's so sweet like that. So, she's a good cookie maker.
Yeah.
And she, what I think that she could bring, I mean, those judges are really great. And Adam and Blake have done a great job.
Agreed.
There, and they're really, really accomplished. But what's nice about Gwen and what she has and she brings to it is that there's that long journey that we've all been on that side of it, where you come up through clubs, you come up through making flyers, you come up through going to Kinko's, and you do it. It's so authentic.
Yeah.
That's not to de-authenticate anyone else who's been on the show, by the way, but she's so authentic that the people look up to her. And I know for a fact that when they asked all the contestants right at the beginning, whose team would you go on? You know, Pharrell is a genius. Adam and Blake are seasoned pros and really knowledgeable. And is that most of them would say they were going to go with different judges. If they got through, they asked them who they go.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing was that actually once they got in front of Gwen, a lot of them really went on Gwen's team.
Yeah.
It happened to me. I didn't even want to go on tour with No Doubt. I thought it was a ridiculous match back in the day when we first met. I was like, they're a great band, and they were probably going, yeah, we don't like rock music. You know, maybe he's a nice person, but we're not going to go on tour with them. But the minute I met her backstage at Acoustic Christmas,
yeah,
the minute I met her, she walked in the dressing room and I saw her, and I still feel the same way about her now as I did then. And she walked out the room and I said to the guy that suggested it, the head of my label, I was like, that was the best idea you ever had.
I got to tell you, I saw you guys do the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know, do you have like 700 kids? What happened?
At least. We did it at a birthday party, and she called out Jessica Alba and Nicole Richie and me, and so I was in incredible company. I was the Oreo filling of the two most beautiful girls.
Right.
And being filmed by Gwen and doing the ice challenge, which was great. And I nominated Dave Grohl, Roger Federer, and Cash Warren, who is Jessica's husband.
Right.
And Roger did it. Dave remade Carrie.
Yeah, he did. Dave's his uncle.
He remade Carrie. He's had a new kid, and like he attributed it to doing it to his the country guy that he's made the record with. I can't remember his name.
Dave Grohl is not fair. Zach Brown, right? His Ice Bucket Challenge was a movie.
I said to him, I was like, so you got a new Foo Fighters record,
right?
Which is obviously going to be great. You've got, you know, you've 50,000 side projects you're doing, you're producing, you got a new baby he's just had. I was like, exactly when do you find the time to remake Carrie?
Yeah.
but that's the mark of the man. He's indefatigable. Is that a word? Yeah. He gets it done. So he's that's why not only is he incredibly talented, is that he works at it.
He does, yeah. And he's an amazing guy. Well, it's good to have you back. It's good to have Bush back. Gavin, that's a great song that we just played, The Only Way Out. And the new album comes out October 21st again. It is called Man on the Run. Gavin, we always appreciate you spending time with us on K-Rock.
I owe everything to K-Rock, so anytime.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Coming up just after 8, Kurt Sutter, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, which is a fantastic show, comes back for its final season tonight. Right now in the studio, we welcome Adam Devine. Welcome, Adam. How are you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were just talking.
I'm okay.
We were just talking off the air about how we were judges for that Red Bull Fluton. Mm-hmm. And,
we weren't invited back.
None of us were invited back. That was the takeaway.
Yeah.
because I think Adam mainly was causing a lot of trouble.
Adam.
Yeah.
And,
I'm a troublemaker.
Every time they would come to us, we would have scores that didn't make sense. Minus 100.
Yeah.
They made an A out of something. And the cameras came to us like twice early.
Yeah, it was a quick pan away from us.
And then we weren't even there. We were not necessary, and we've been cut out of the process entirely. So that's our history.
Very caffeinated, though.
Yes, we were
all caffeinated. All the bowl we could handle.
That's right, Red Bull like crazy.
No booze.
None.
All Red Bull.
That's correct. Now, speaking of booze.
Sugar-free. Keep it tight.
Speaking of booze, let's talk about Adam Devine's house party.
Let's do it.
Because you drink. Now, do you drink the absinthe, or is that just funny?
I didn't drink while we're shooting. People always ask me, like, do I get wasted while I'm shooting? And, hey, sometimes, you know, you got a party. But for the most part, no, because you got to shoot all day long, and if you were to do that, you'd fall asleep.
You die is what you would do.
You'd puke on yourself and fall asleep.
Yeah. That would have made good TV, though.
You're right. You're right. I'm blowing it.
You bought a bar. And you had a bunch of comedians.
That's commitment.
I'm not positive.
Can you just rent it?
Yeah. Well, it was a rent to own situation.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And you probably didn't get your deposit back. I imagine after seeing a couple of episodes. Yeah. I did see a couple of episodes of it, and It's. Have you ever been there before?
I have. Yeah, I shot that movie Pitch Perfect in Louisiana, so I've been down there a lot. And that was sort of why I wanted to go back down there again, because there's no other city like it. You walk down the street and there's just like from like a child who's like seven who's somehow on the street to like a 85-year-old woman are just like holding booze in their hands and just dancing and singing and having the best time ever. And I'm like, this is my favorite place ever. Everyone is just fat and jolly. And I'm like, I want to retire here and die at 66.
You would die sooner than that, I think. We used to go there.
I'm retiring at 65.
Oh, I see. So. Okay. Me and a bunch of friends of mine, my wife and a bunch of friends of mine, we used to go to New Orleans every Memorial Day weekend. It was a long weekend, so we would all just get on a plane and go there and literally had to leave to stay alive. I mean, it was really just like you can only take so much of that city.
I was there for 3 weeks. And,
3 weeks?
I was going very, very hard to where, like, for whatever reason, the key grip on the show was the one to take me aside and go like, hey, man, you should try to get some sleep tonight. The key grip is like
not the
construction
director or anybody
worker.
Else?
No, those guys are like my friends. And they're like, Adam will be fine. But he was the one that was like, hey, call it early tonight. What if you
just one night? Will
just one night recharge, right, bud? You're my paycheck. Don't blow this for me.
It is one of those crazy, unique cities where every, like you said, every single person there is thrilled to be there.
Yeah,
that's not true of any other city I've been in.
No, no way.
Yeah.
Everybody's so
happy. I feel
like
no one's working. And if they are working, they've got like a little like flask in their desk and they're like, this is funny, right? That's just a guy in a horn coming into the office. I feel like that happens 3 times a day.
That does happen a lot there as well. Yeah. Uh-huh. Crazy musicians walking down the street.
Okay, good. He's here. Sell by trade.
Again. Adam Devine's House Party debuts tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central.
That's right.
But it's not your normal time. Your normal time will be Thursdays at 12:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. right after at midnight.
Yeah, they wanted to put it at a time that people might actually see it.
Uh-huh.
And then convince them to watch the rest of the series.
So they put it on tonight, and then Thursday night you're going to be at 12:30. Is it going to be a different show Thursday night or the same one?
Different episode.
Different show. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Adam Devine is here. We need to take a quick break. We will be right back on K-Rock. Adam Devine is here talking about his show, Adam Devine's House Party, which debuts tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Explain to people the strange mixture of stuff that you have on your program.
It's a fun show. The premise is that I preface it with, it's fun.
It's fun.
It's a fun show. You're going to like it.
It's awesome.
It's a stand-up show, first and foremost, and it's to break stand-ups that you might not have seen on TV before. But the premise is I'm having a huge party, and the stand-ups come to perform on my show, and then something bad happens, or something happens in every episode that we have to deal with in between the stand-ups performing their actual stand-up routines. So in the first episode, I have a king cake, which inside of a king cake, it's a New Orleans tradition. There's a little baby inside of it. And if you find the baby, you're the king of Mardi Gras. And I take a bite of it and I chip my tooth on the baby. And now I chug a bottle of absinthe to numb the pain. And I start hallucinating and start seeing this giant king cake in the audience. So every king cake baby. So every time I bring a comic up, I'm like, I see the baby and I'm like, go away, little baby.
It's like a giant baby in the crowd.
Stupid little baby.
Yeah. Seeing
and then the comics are off to the side of the stage going like, what are you doing? Just bring me up. And then they all get messed up on the absinthe and weed king cake.
Yeah, I've seen the first two episodes, and I'd like to suggest that perhaps if you're the type of person that does this, being high might help your experience when watching this program.
Ah, I think it helps most experience is. But,
correct.
But for everything that I do, times two.
Adam Devine is here. Dave said in the other room you were talking about getting mixed up with another celebrity from The Voice.
Oh,
tell me about that, because that's weird.
I get it might be because his name is Adam Levine and my name is Adam Devine, but I think they're confused about our obliques.
Well, if they don't know you, they might think it's Devine as well. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, and I get, especially when The Voice is on that night, I get, like, a solid 200 tweets.
Really?
Just saying like, oh, Adam Devine, because they miss out the name, is so sexy. Him and Blake are so cute together. And Blake is my co-star in Workaholics.
Right.
So when Workaholics just came out and The Voice basically started around the same time, I think, I was getting all these tweets and I'm like, I did not know this was how it's going to go. Yeah. I'm a sex symbol.
You are a sex symbol.
Who knew that this was going to be the path?
How long did it take you to realize that they weren't talking to you?
Truly, maybe 15 minutes of sleuthing. But I kept it going in my brain for a good few weeks.
Did you respond as Adam Levine? Did you respond to them?
Well, I tend to retweet about four or five every time it really hits hard.
So when they say you're sexy, that's the one that you retweet quickly.
Mm-hmm. Speaking
of Workaholics,
people see through it.
It's been renewed?
Yeah.
And it's coming back.
Yeah, we're shooting. We started in 2 weeks shooting, and we're doing 13 more episodes, and that'll come back in January.
How many episodes do you have of House Party?
We did 10 this season.
10 of them.
Eight last season, 10 this season.
And you were in New Orleans
65 next season.
65?
Yeah,
that seems
gonna be a real run. It's an old classic 8-10-65 model.
And you're not doing that one in New Orleans, though, because you would die.
I might not go back to New Orleans this for season three. But if we do get a third season, I got a lot of really cool, fun ideas for it. So,
did you ever try a flaming Dr. Pepper while you were in New
Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the few people. I bring that up, and most people don't know what that is.
Well, most people aren't alcoholics. we got the grenades are popular down there, too, and the hurricanes.
But the Flaming Dr. Peppers involves fire, which I'm a pyromaniac, so I love.
You know, I have a good story about Flaming Dr.
Please.
Pepper, and I will tell it. in high school, I would hang out with these kids that were like seniors, and I was a freshman. And they would just tag me along to be like to do their dirty work, and like, look, Adam's not afraid to scream at someone.
So
or
they would
be
have
an
you
idiot.
Be their class clown, their entertainer.
Yeah. And this girl. I'm like talking to girls for the first time, and she had just done a shot of like Everclear and got it on her face. And the next shot to come around was a Flaming Dr. Pepper shot.
Oh no!
And it started her face on fire.
Oh no!
And I'm the only one talking with this girl. Everyone else is at different parts of the party, but like we're all in the same room. And I'm like, "Hide your face!" And she's like, "What?" And I'm like smacking the flame away. So it looks like I'm smacking this girl in the face.
Does she know that her face is on fire?
Well, I'm telling her, your face is on fire, and I'm hitting her in the face.
I would think you're crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And her boyfriend came over and was like, "What are you doing?" And threw me across the room.
Nice.
Yeah,
the Flaming Dr. Pepper, they do light the 151 on fire, and then they drop it into the beer, and it's supposed to go out.
Occasionally, it does not.
It's not supposed to light your face on fire.
Yeah, it was, and she brought it because you're supposed to blow it out.
Right.
And then
shoot it.
But she didn't blow it. She just started to take it, and she already had all this flammable booze on her cheek. What? I talked to the classiest girls, is what I'm getting at. You know, she was covered in booze. She can't get it down her mouth.
So what were the crowds like there for House Party in New Orleans? I mean, did you have people stumbling in
like
I would have and then had to throw me out because?
They were great. It wasn't a huge venue. Like, I think there was like 250 like people or so. So we were out.
It looked crowded. Every episode looks crowded.
Yeah. It was packed. And it was so much fun. But they were fantastic.
Did they know who you are?
There's not a lot of comedy.
Did they know who you are or what anything was that was happening there?
They knew who I was.
Okay.
I don't know if they, you know, some people, I would ask like, have you seen the show? A huge portion
so
knew.
Like 99%?
Season one of House Party was the number one show on TV.
Right.
A lot of people said that. My family mostly.
Did you occasionally have somebody stumble in that you had to ask to stumble back out?
I think they shielded that for
a
little bit. But no, for the most part, people were.
Because you're
were
the man
cool.
now. They're shielding the
Thanks.
Drugs from you.
Yeah. All of a sudden, people won't look at me in my eyes. What's going on? We're told not to look at you.
Tell me about some of the – we're running out of time here, unfortunately. Tell me about some of the comedians that are there. Kristen Schaal, I adore.
Oh, Kristen.
Because she's insane in
a
good way.
She's so good. She's so funny. She's a good friend of mine. She just fell off her bike and broke out her front teeth. So.
Is that true?
Oh, R.I.P. Kristen's teeth.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
That sounds horrible.
Tweet her some nice things, guys.
That's kind of sucky. I will.
And then I got Kurt Bronneler. I got Eric Griffin. But for the most part, it's about comics that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of most of them.
Yeah, and giving them their break. But there's so many funny people out there that can do stand-up as well as act. Because that was the kind of the premise of the show, is to give people a chance to do a little bit of both.
I was impressed by that. I didn't know most of the comedians, but when they were doing the acting skits with you, they were really pretty good.
Yeah, they're good.
Wow, that's not a given.
It used to be like when you did stand-up, that's what you did.
Right.
And then when you're an actor, that's what you did. But now I think there's so much crossover with the internet being so popular and you're able to actually get more experience acting and stuff. So.
Well, it's a great show. Adam Devine's House Party tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. And then just to confuse you, that's not the normal night.
No.
Thursday night right after at midnight, which is 12:30 a.m. on Comedy Central, that's your normal night.
That's right.
So you get two doses of Adam Levine this week.
Oh, you dirty dog.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate your time.
Right, thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55. Coming up just after the top of the hour, very excited, Kurt Sutter, creator of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
He's back.
Very excited.
He comes back tonight.
He's so excited you could barely say the name of the show.
For the final season.
That's how excited you are.
Can't wait.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
All right, man. Right. Don't look at me.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
You're the man.
Yes, I am.
It's your world. We're just living in it. Speaking of which, great interview with Gavin Rosdell earlier today.
Really?
Yes. Huh. So much so that even Jeff Treadwell wrote in, said, Kevin, all by himself, pulls off a great interview with Gavin Rosdell. Relevant questions, no moments with to speak of. Oh, well, I'm sure he'll be back in a few minutes. I'll keep listening, writes Jeff. So hope Jeff was listening to you talk about Son of Anarchy. Because then he'll know it's really you. I think he was afraid you've been replaced with someone. But...
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey, Captain America! Captain America!
You're yelling at because the DVD comes out?
Captain America!
You're calling for him.
Captain America!
When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Yeah! Sing it!
All those who chose to oppose his shield must yield.
Yes!
If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Today's the day, man. The Winter Soldier is out on Blu-ray and DVD.
But that song not on it.
No, sadly it's not. Love that Captain America song. Hey, very cool things happening today. If you are a Cap fan, there is a... remember in Captain America the Winter Soldier, he hides that that thumb drive with all the information inside the vending machine?
Yes. Like a couple...
What's her name? Black Widow puts it inside there and Cap's got to get it out. And that's where all the information is on that little zip drive there.
Right.
Well, they're doing a cool thing down at the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Cahuenga Boulevard. They are going to have a vending machine there with tons of those thumb drives inside of it. And you get one out of your vending machine, and then you find out what prize is on there.
Oh.
It will have a prize on it, including such things as limited edition Marvel Comics original artwork.
Do I get the shield?
It does not say here whether the shield is available. How about a Captain America Winter Soldier poster signed by Chris Evans?
All right.
Lots of amazing prizes are all located in this vending machine on these little zip drives. You scan it and you find out what's on there, including also, by the way, in this vending machine will be two tickets to the premiere of the Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh,
now that's pretty strong. That's worth getting your ass down there today. The vending machine is located at the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Cahuenga Boulevard. Come down for a chance to claim a prize starting at 4 p.m. this afternoon. 4 p.m. So... that's when things kick off down there. There's also going to be a signing. The directors of Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Anthony and Joe Russo, will be inside Amoeba Records signing the Blu-ray combo pack. So you can check all that stuff out today. Cool stuff happening.
Exciting. It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. Hey, remember I told you that Fran Drescher married the inventor of the email?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big lie. I'm a big liar.
Everybody should double-check every story they hear from Ralph.
Well, here's the thing. It's not all my fault. This guy has been going around telling people that he invented email.
Okay.
So she married a liar?
The Huffington Post allowed him to print a story called About the History of Email, basically, where it talks about him and his friends pretty much inventing the email. And then a ton of people who work in the industry have sourced this story, and it turns out that it was entirely false.
Entirely false. Like, yes. It didn't have anything to do with
it. Well, apparently there was some sort of tangential relationship.
Because I've emailed. But, I mean, I've done that.
They misquoted a 1977 research paper. There was all kinds of misleading and false information in this story that the Huffington Post allowed to run. And so now a lot of people are going, following this guy around, trying to correct his blatant misrepresentation of his own role in the development of electronic mail. So
was it Al Gore?
I was corrected by several people who seem to know what they're talking about, saying, you really should read this. And I read this article, and apparently it's all a bunch of BS. So
okay,
he says he invented email.
Well, then I did too.
The rest of the world says it ain't necessarily so. So good luck on your marriage, Fran Drescher.
It's a good choice.
If he tells you he picked up some milk on the way home from work and then it's not there.
Here's the thing about lying. Lie small.
People. Right.
You don't lie big. Because if you lie big like you created email, people can check that out.
Hey, new music available today. You can check out Dream Your Life Away by Vance Joy. We just had him on the show yesterday. He's got a new CD. You can download that or pick it up today.
Playing his uke, as we said.
Playing his uke.
You can see that on krock.com if you want to watch his performance.
Goddess by Banks. El Pintor by Interpol. Crush Songs by Karen O. Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar by Robert Plant. Ryan Adams by Ryan Adams. All Together Now by Better Than Ezra. The Physical World by Death From Above, 1979. And Title is a new EP by a young lady named Megan Trainor. Familiar with Megan Trainor?
Why do I recognize the name?
She's just a kid. I don't know. She's 19, 20 years old. She's been a songwriter for a while, but she's had this hit song, All About the Bass. Have you heard this All About the Bass
song?
Oh,
yeah.
I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, oh,
it's stuck in
now.
My head. It's an earwig.
You hear it
Forget
once.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
It's a smash hit, and now she's had the single out for a while. Now she's putting out this EP to follow it up. But here's the song if you haven't heard it.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble.
That'll be in your head all day long.
Yep.
It's a catchy song.
I started singing them. The lyrics with it, and I don't know any lyrics, but for some reason, that is the catchiest tune that has come along in 10 years.
Well, that's out. Her new music's out today as well. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hugh Grant's 54, Adam Sandler's 48, Eric Stone Street, our good buddy, 43 years old today. Michael Bublé is 39. Michelle Williams is 34 years old today. And DJ Afrojack is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
So, I watch The Bridge, and I watch The Strain. Both are on FX, and there's a lot of commercials in between, and I've seen trailers now that have whet my appetite for season 7, Sons of Anarchy, so much. I've seen so many teasers for it that I must see it. It comes back tonight. Kurt Sutter, the creator, is in the studio with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
How are you, Kurt?
That's good. I like my fans wet.
So, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Seen so many teasers for that. I'm like, come on. When does it finally get here?
It's apparently it's here this evening.
It's here this evening.
Yes.
I can't wait. Seventh season and final season.
Yes, it is.
First of all, before we talk of Sons of Anarchy, let's talk about Katie Sagal.
Why not?
Getting her star on the Walk of Fame.
Yes, she is.
Today. Awesome.
Awesome. Yes, and that happens today, and it should be very festive. She has, I think, Ed and Christina are going to be there. Charlie's going to be there. Ed and Christina, because they're on. I'm on a first name basis.
Sure, sure, of course.
I think John Landgraf is going to speak. Katie will speak. It'll be fun. She's very. You know, for a girl that was born and raised in Hollywood and whose family has been in it, it's very cool.
It's got to be so exciting and weird, like hard to believe. Like, this is my life that is actually now intersecting with stars on the Walk of Fame.
It's crazy. And she was afraid it was going to be like in, you know, east of Vine, like on Silver Lake.
In
Silver
Lake,
you know.
And someplace with next to people you don't know.
Yeah. I get my urine stain next year on the Hollywood.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Excited. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Well, that is going to be exciting. All right, so you're doing that a little bit later on today. What time and where can people
come see you if they want to.
Oh, I should probably know this. It's like 11-ish on Hollywood Boulevard. I know it's like right across the street from the Roosevelt Hotel, so right around you know, right around the
So she's in prime country, right?
Yeah, now. She is. Yeah. She is. Do they do that? No, that's not the Hands and the Feet. Is that the Hands and Feet?
I think across the street at the what was the Man's Chinese is where that is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's close to there.
Dude, a car shows
be
up.
Surprised.
I get in and they take me.
They just tell you where to go and what to do?
I'm an idiot. They just – I have a tracker on me right now.
Now, you've done 6 seasons of Sons of Anarchy, which have been awesome. When you come up to the 7th season, is it overwhelming? Do you get a tremendous amount of input from people or questions from people? Is it more difficult to write than the other 6 seasons?
You know, The blessing and the curse of how we shoot this show and the production model, it's really guerrilla filmmaking, and I don't like to get too far ahead, and by that I mean I always fall behind.
Right. Just naturally.
So, you know, what I like to do is, you know, we'll bank about 3 or 4 scripts before we start production, and I'll be actually, you know, on time with stuff for a while. But I actually like to see, and I learned this, I sort of understood the value of this when I was on The Shield. I like to see episodes, you know, and see what's working in terms of character and relationship, what's popping, what's not popping. So I have the opportunity to have that inform as I continue to write and cut the season.
I don't know anyone else that does it that way.
Yeah, that slows you down.
Because it seems like it's a little more last minute. And although it makes perfect sense to get feedback of what's working, what's not working.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we're ahead in terms, like we have.
How many have you done? How many episodes?
We have 8 in the can, and we're shooting.
And is Juice 9 currently alive or dead in season? It's episode 8.
I can't tell you that.
I read an interview where you said there was a revelation about him in episode 6, and everybody says, well, that means he's still going to be alive in episode 6.
You're just baiting me here. I didn't say that. Did I?
No, I read an interview where somebody else said that.
No, I think, you know, I think what I loved at the end of last season is that weird connection and bond now that Gemma and Juice have in this sort of bloody lie. So we get to play that out this season.
I went back this past weekend and watched all of the finale again just because I was so excited. And explain for people who may not understand exactly or aren't following along his weird predicament.
Yeah. You know, Juice has always sort of been on the edge of not being trusted by the club. You know, they know that he ultimately at one point tried to commit suicide. They questioned his whether or not he talked to the cops. So he's always been walking this fine line, at least for the last year and a half or so in club time. And
this is a show where doing that can get you killed.
Yeah, I mean it's betrayal, and then ultimately he betrayed Jax last season and told Nero something that he shouldn't have told him, and that for Jax that became sort of the last straw, and we saw in the end of the last season, you know, in a very sort of Michael Fredo kind of way, Jax say, you know, you betrayed me, and so at that point Juice knows he's a marked man.
That, by the way, I just wanted to, do you have anything to do with the directing or editing?
I mean, I direct usually the finale, but I do all the editing. I do,
that,
you know,
or that,
I don't edit. I'm in there with the editor doing
that
the cut.
Particular scene where he says, you betrayed me.
Yeah.
And you just hold on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see, like, he says it so, like, softly and sort of non-aggressively.
Right.
But Juice knows that's not what I want to hear right now.
No, it's cool. You know, I think
the tension was just
the tension,
crazy
and it's almost, you know, it's it, and the reason why I you know, I bring up the Godfather thing. Obviously, I stole it, but
but other than that,
but it's heartbreaking for him. He's as heartbroken as he is angry when he says it to him. You know, and I think that's the thing that's so somewhat chilling.
Do you think that's what people are drawn to the show for? Is the family, the camaraderie, the I'm in it for my brother, and I would do anything.
I think
for
so.
Him.
You know, I this show is definitely, you know, it's pulp drama. It's definitely pulp violence. There's an absurd quality to the level of violence and the dark humor. And to me, that's sort of the hard candy shell that, you know, you sort of get that pop culture connection, and people show up for that. And then I like to think that once they kind of bite into it, there's something going on. So I think they show up for that. And then if I give them characters that are somewhat three-dimensional, I give them relationships that are complicated, I give them themes that they can relate to, then they ultimately stick around for more than that. Because if you, after a while, a hook, whatever it be, whether it be vampires, zombies, whatever the hook is, you know, after a while, audience can get tired of that.
Well, it just turns into a gimmick if you don't have something behind it. Yeah.
So I'd like to think we have something behind it. And yeah, I think all those familial themes, I think, you know, it's all that wish fulfillment stuff, you know, and, you know, CCH Pounder's character has a scene in the premiere where she, and it's on all the commercials.
She's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, where she talks about how everybody has, when they're struck with tragedy, they have that part of the grieving process is that sense of, I want to strike back, I want vengeance, I want that person dead. But it's a feeling, it's an impulse, and you know, 99% of the world doesn't act on that impulse. But being
I get the feeling that Jax does.
Yeah. In that culture, as she said, it's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just what you do. So and I think for people, you know, there's a sense of yeah, I wish I could take justice into my own hands and right the wrongs that have been done.
It seems like for a while Jax has been sort of pulled back. He wants to get the group out of guns. He wants to kind of go the straight narrow because of his wife Tara, mm-hmm. Who now is gone. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like perhaps he's going to be all that interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. I think she was his moral compass. I think she was the one that he had a sense of, I have to change things because of her and because of my connection. And I think once she's gone, not only does he lose that connection to that part of his psyche, I think there's a sense of now I have to, you know, retaliate. I have to take vengeance for that. So it's the combination of those two things. And, you know, and whether or not, you know, I mean, the thing I love about it is that there's a sense of, you know, even if that didn't happen to Tara, would there have just been another series of events that triggered the same thing? Because can you really be the head of an outlaw organization and be legitimate? You know, aren't by nature of living on the fringe like that, aren't you subject to the violence and everything else?
Well, everything else they're doing is illegal as well. Yeah. So I mean, it's not like they're not like they're selling cookies and ice cream on the side. Sons of Anarchy comes back tonight. It is the final season. It's on FX. It is a fantastic show. Kurt Sutter is there. We'll include your phone calls, too, if you want, at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll be right back.
The desire for revenge. It's a part of grieving.
I already lost the woman I love. I'm not going to lose my club.
Keeping our truth away from him is the right thing to do.
The last time I heard you share your vision, we were talking about cutting the ties to the things that were killing us.
I don't have a vision anymore.
What's Jax going to do if he finds you?
What do you think?
I need to know that every single one of you would die for the man next to him.
We're all in, brother.
Come on.
Woo!
Come on. Tell me about building up the characters in strength, because I see Jax and Jax's mom, mm-hmm. Gemma, both as just pillars of strength. They mm-hmm. are both unbeatable. They would do anything, and now they're sort of at odds, and mm-hmm. they don't even know it yet.
Right. Yeah, I think it's some of it. They have different strengths. You know, I think. I think the interesting thing about Jax is that he's, he has this sort of, impulsive, rage-fueled quality to him that, he's capable of violence and has been raised in that environment. And yet he's a guy who, unlike some anti-heroes, he's a guy who really is incredibly reflective and feels remorse and doubts himself, and you know, hence the pretentious Hamlet archetype that I steal from. But and Gemma has her own set of strengths. You know, she is a fierce mom. She She has the capacity to compartmentalize, you know, brilliantly. She can justify any lie. She can justify any move as long as she can land it on, I'm doing this to protect my tribe.
You know? Right.
And,
You don't want to tangle with either of them.
No, you don't. Really, at this point, no.
At this point, you really, and you don't want to be anywhere in between them at this point either, I don't think.
No. And, it's sort of fascinating that, it's been so much fun to write and produce this season because it's, and I've said this in a lot of interviews, it's the most proactive our hero has been, you know, and from the jump he's singular and there's not a lot of reflective, there's not a lot of remorse, there's not a lot of, well, what happens if I do, you know, if there's this blowback.
Yeah, well, the last couple seasons he's fighting his nature every step of the way.
Yeah.
Pretty much fighting that, mm-hmm. doesn't want to give in to it, wants to make sure that that isn't where mm-hmm. he goes because he feels it but mm-hmm. doesn't want to follow it.
Correct. And he's sort of been given the license and the reason to do it in this season. So, so he's very singular in purpose and it's fun because, you know, there's other conflicts going on within the club in terms of individual characters, but I didn't want the internal conflict to be coming, from the club. I loved the idea that regardless of how ruthless and hell-bent on revenge Jax is, that the club is sort of behind him 100% because the burden of that falls heavier on our hero. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
knowing
sure.
that whether or not these guys doubt him or question him, nobody's bringing it to the table. You know, there's some looks, there's some questions, but it's not voiced and ultimately the burden of what they're doing really falls, you know, solely on his shoulders.
By the way, it feels like that was the same with last season in that he was trying to take them away from guns and there were people at the table who didn't agree with that and
right.
they kept that to themselves
right.
as well.
Right.
They'll go wherever he goes because he's the leader.
I think so. And I think that especially, with the brutality that's landed on his family, and you know they all have known Tara and love Tara as well, and there's a I think it's Bobby at some point has there's a scene where he talks about, you know, it's sort of the nature of the life. It's like every 10 or 12 years there's a war.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, you clean house and who's left standing is supposed to be there and it begins again. But it's just the nature, you know, and it doesn't, you know, and with obvious parallels of what we do here in the country. And it's just the nature of power and violence and greed, you know.
Let's take a quick phone call from K-Rock listener Bill in Long Beach. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Thank you. You're on with Kurt.
I am curious to know, what is the process for the musical choices on the show? And then specifically, I believe tonight you're airing Walking Papers, which is Duff McKagan and Barrett Martin's band.
Our process, usually I have a fantastic music supervisor and composer, Bob Phil Jr. I've known Bob a long time. And the way it usually works is for the bigger montages, I really see those as storytelling devices, you know, and I really use those to tell as much story as I can within the course of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes.
I love that. It's almost like a music video where the music can take center stage and everybody else sort of, you see it in the background.
And I usually have a sense of what song I want for that. And I'll do things like I'll tease this. I'll give this away for tonight. But I go to Bob and say, you know, I want to use Bohemian Rhapsody, which is an insane song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he'll just look at me and go, okay.
You know? How exactly are we going to do that?
So, you know, or something or some other epic song. And we usually do covers on the show because, you know, it's sort of, we can give it our you know, our signature sound, and we can also control it and use the stems, and because we usually frame it around the action, and it's easier than if we just have a master. But for the rest of the music, the process is, you know, if it's ancillary music, if it's playing in the clubhouse, if it's playing in a car, Bob will give me a series of choices, and I'll sit down with Bob and our music editor, and we'll sort of pick and choose those. But all those choices really come from Bob and his taste and his connections. And, you know, we try to use bands and artists whom, A, are are cheap and B, cheaper. But also, you know, we try to – people who may not get a lot of exposure. So we can bring everyone along on this.
For this ride. Teasers, you use Bullet the Blue Sky from U2, which is an old song.
Yeah,
you know, but it was great to crazy. Hear again.
Yeah. That's marketing. It's a whole different budget. But Stephanie Givens, who does our brilliant marketing, I guess U2 hadn't sanctioned a song for a commercial in a while, and she had to reach out and contact the band and get permission to use it. But it really works well. It's pretty majestic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy is back tonight, the final season on FX at 10 p.m., and we're going to take one more break. We will take your phone calls as well, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll be right back. Been doing the show for a long time. Nicole Alvarez comes in.
Yes, she does.
I think this is either the second or third time.
This is the third time in 11 years.
Nicole is here because she's a huge fan, of course, of Sons of Anarchy as well.
Kurt Sutter, to be exact.
Okay, fantastic.
Like my hero sitting next to me.
You can help me with the interviews, and we'll take some phone calls. Sure. I did want to ask one question because we started worrying about you at one point when we heard that you had cast Lea Michele, mm-hmm. Courtney Love, mm-hmm. Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the list. There was like two or three others, and I was like, what's happening now? Right. What's going on right now?
A lot of people worry about that. as well they should. I had become friends with Manson. We were working on I met him through Shooter Jennings. We were working on some music together, and he was a uber fan of the show and wanted to be on, and then we had this role of this white supremacist that sort of becomes their point guy in Stockton State Prison, and he's
he fits.
He fits, man. And then Courtney, I know. I was a huge Nirvana fan, and had become friends with Courtney really just through social media. And then we had coffee a while back, and I knew she was trying to sort of reboot some stuff. And
she fits.
And we had a role. We had a role of a school teacher, kindergarten teacher, and I thought, perfect. when you think kindergarten teacher, you think Courtney Love.
Now that leaves us with Lea Michele.
Yes,
that is not an easy fit. I don't think. If you love the show and you know Lea Michele, I don't know how he's gonna.
Well, I think Lea was this always blows my mind, but like it's her favorite show, we have this weird Glee intersection that sounds really sexual. Sorry, we have this Paris Barclay, who's my primary director and executive producer, actually directs a lot of Glee. In fact, he was nominated for an Emmy this year for one of their episodes, and Ryan Murphy's a friend of mine, so we had this role come up for a truck stop waitress, and I reached out to Lea, with the mandate that it wasn't, you know, a very glamorous role.
Right.
It's this, you know, it's a single mom who's, you know, so it, the mandate was.
You're not going to need hair and makeup.
No makeup, right. You know, a frumpy dress and she, you know, she dove in head first. You know, I think actresses that sort of get stereotyped as cute and perky and want to do other things, you know, sort of hunger for an opportunity to do something that's somewhat out of character. So she was great. She was really great.
It seems like most of Hollywood won't allow that. Like, they give her more roles that are the same as she's done.
I think so. And
that's what was so nice. That was such a surprise about Katie.
Yeah,
is that
right,
she's
right.
amazing right. in this. And most of Hollywood, I don't think, would have given her that credit had she not had this opportunity.
I don't think so. You know, it's really hard. You know, it was really difficult for her to shake Peg and you know, even after doing 8 Simple Rules and really the first break for her was with Damon and Carlton Cuse on Lost, you know, mm-hmm. and that little arc on there, I think, sort of opened the door a little bit for her, and people were like, oh, you know, she's willing and able and very much qualified to do other things, and I just knew, you know, I knew how great she'd be, and I knew that she'd be able to you know, to tap into this role, and obviously has done quite well.
Is it bad to say she slept her way to the top?
Oh.
I mean, well, I'm asking.
It's me, so she slept her way to the middle.
Nicole, did you have a question?
Yeah, he's not a stranger to controversial casting like that, because remember when you cast Ashley Tisdale, you caught some heat for that, because he took a Disney star and he dipped her in Sam Crow and then, like, unpurified her.
Wow.
So he's not
dipped her in Sam Crow. I like that.
So
I like
he's
that.
Not a stranger to it.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy that part of it? Almost more?
Dipping myself in Sam Crow?
I mean, taking people that the audience wouldn't necessarily...
Yeah, I do. It's fun for me. I usually try to do one or two a season, from Stephen King to, you know, David Hasselhoff. And although I don't think David remembers being on the show.
Joe McHale. He threw Joe McHale on there.
Yeah. Joe McHale, who's such a sweet guy.
Yeah, he was great.
Beat the living crap out of him on the show.
Let's take a call. This is Olivia calling from Philadelphia, listening online. Hi, Olivia.
Hi. I'm calling from South Philly. I'm, like, freaking out right now. But anyway, I have to ask, like, what is going to happen with Gemma? It gives me such anxiety. Like, I love her. I was obviously Team Gemma. I know I'm unstable because of that. But, like, what?
You might be unstable for other reasons as well, though.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
But
what's your question, like, about Gemma?
Like, when's Jax going to find out all the stuff that she did, and, like, what's going to happen with her and Nero? Like, just everything. Give me anything on Gemma. Anything you can.
Her hair looks fantastic this year.
Obviously.
No, you know, look, I can't give out spoilers, nor do you really want me to. But, you know, Gemma, I will say this. Gemma is well versed in the craft of lying, you know, and she does it very well. And she manipulates well, and I think she will use all her natural abilities and all her well-worn, you know, skills in that area to get through the season. And she doesn't die in the premiere. I'll give you that.
All right, there you go, Olivia.
Thank you.
That's
you
something
for tonight.
You can watch tonight, and then from then on, you're in trouble. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, guys.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about this season?
I have so much I need to talk about, Kevin.
But not on the air.
Not on the air.
Yeah.
It's really sad. No, you know, look, I'm obviously very excited. It's bittersweet for me. You know, I think it's time to, you know, to really bring it to a close. I want, you know, somebody asked me on the red carpet at the premiere, like, why are we ending it at 7 seasons? And I pointed across the street where there were, like, 1,000 fans cheering. And I said, I want to go out while that's going on.
Yeah.
And not like some half drunk guy in a Sam Crow hat going. You know what I mean?
You want to end on top.
I do. I want to end
fade away.
Yeah,
slowly.
Exactly.
You have another project in the works?
I am. I'm doing a.
Is it The Bastard Executioner?
The Bastard Executioner. A movie I wrote, Southpaw, that Antoine Fuqua did with Gyllenhaal, is hopefully will come out at some point at the end of the year. But with FX, I have my next show is The Bastard Executioner, and it's about a medieval executioner. So that won't be violent
no.
at all.
No, not at all. You're troubled.
I am troubled. And see, I told you, I have so much to tell you.
Beautifully about. Troubled.
And that we'll shoot the pilot for that in probably April and May in the UK, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we're huge fans of
Thank
yours,
you,
huge
you.
Fans of the show. Tonight, Sons of Anarchy, FX, 10 o'clock.
It was the best day ever.
You
Wait, can I say something really quick, and I won't spoil my favorite part of the premiere, and this is not spoiling anything. The thing that Gemma wants to dip in gold and wear as a necklace.
Yeah.
You shall see, you guys.
I don't
you
know
shall
what that
see.
Means, but I can't wait.
She dips it in Sam Crow.
I can't wait. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:58. Ralph Garman is here now with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give the peeps something. Because they deserve it. They totes deserve it.
Totes deserve. Totes D's. I short and deserve.
Totes Aki Momo.
Yeah, that was.
That's what that was. How would you like to see an advanced screening of A Walk Among the Tombstones?
The kids love that one.
This movie looks awesome.
It does.
Liam Neeson as a private detective who gets hired by a drug kingpin to find out who kidnapped and murdered his wife. This, boy, Liam Neeson's just a badass. It's coming out in theaters on September the 19th. We, however, are having a screening on September the 16th at the AMC Burbank 16, A Walk Among the Tombstones. If you'd like to go, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through at that number, we'll get a pair of passes to see A Walk Among the Tombstones. Well, Ray Rice, he's a sweetheart. He's a prince
yeah.
among men.
I wish I could have dated him.
Obviously, a lot going on yesterday. Fallout from the video TMZ posted of... Ray Rice cold-cocking his, at the time, fiance, now wife.
That went south so fast!
It's a horrible video.
Yeah, she ended up marrying him after that disturbing video.
Go figure.
That's craziness.
So the video was finally viewed by the public at large, and whether, depending on who you believe, the NFL finally saw that video, and the Ravens finally saw that video, and he was fired from... his job with the Baltimore Ravens, and the NFL has labeled him suspended indefinitely.
From the league, right? No other teams?
Right, right. He cannot play in football as of right now, pending this indefinite suspension, which could mean tomorrow they could talk to him about it, or forever he could be banned. Who knows?
Is he a little bit older, or is he young?
He's in the middle of
his career. I think middle, right?
Middle of his career. Anyway, the reason I bring this all up is because EA Sports has announced he has been dropped from Madden 15.
Yeah.
The company has issued the statement with Ray Rice's indefinite suspension from the NFL. He will be removed from the Madden NFL 15 game. Now, that game is not out yet. It is out.
I think it's out.
What do? They come to your house and just get a pair of scissors and they just cut them out of your video? Give me your video game. Give it to me. I got to fix it.
Well, I don't think they use scissors.
I think they use scissors and a screwdriver. And they come in and they snip him out of your game. I don't know. They take a chip out or something.
I'm not sure how that happens.
I don't know.
Maybe you get an update. Maybe you get an update online. And then
Skynet, man. They just come to your house and they just fix whatever they want in your game. Why don't they put brainwashing hypnosis in your game? You don't know. You don't know how that works.
No, but I'm saying I know that video games do get updates from time to time on the internet.
I'm saying they can do anything they want.
Right.
They can come into your house. They can watch you from your television set.
That's true. That's
like
all
a nanny cam.
That's right.
Watch you with your pants around your ankles, dipping yourself in Sam Crow or whatever it is you do there at night, Kevin. Creepy. The roster change will take place by this Friday, announced the game. So wait for people in black suits to come to your house and kick in your door and take your game and make stuff happen to it or something like that.
I think that's accurate.
I'm pretty sure it is, too. I'm out of time already? What? What the what?
Yeah, we went long with Kurt. My bad.
Oh, so that's on you? You're taking responsibility for that one?
I'll take responsibility for that one.
The guy who controls the clock and how long the
I'm saying that's my fault. I'll take responsibility for this one.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Hugh Grant's 54, Adam Sandler's 48, Eric Stone Street. We miss you, Eric. Come on the show, won't you? He's 43 years
He's
old
awesome.
Today. Did Adam Devine tell you his Eric Stone Street story?
No.
Well, maybe it's not mine. To
think okay.
I won't say it on the air.
Thanks for bringing it up then.
Sure. Well, it's just, I guess he wouldn't mind. But he's done the, like, five episodes of Modern Family. Adam
okay.
Devine has. He plays the nanny, the manny for Sofia Vergara and Ed O'Neill's little baby Joe. And he said, first five times he worked on Eric Stone Street, he has this thing where he will pretend to hate you, but you'll never know why. So he just walks around the set, like, glaring at you and saying
just unnatural
things, unnatural hatred. And he's like, the first day I'm on the set, Eric Stone Street is just glaring at me with hate. I have no idea what's going on. It was just Stone Street just effing with him, apparently.
I saw Eric Stone Street at a Kings playoff game, and it was the first time I'd seen him in person there. And when he saw me, he just looked away. And I was like, wow! Does he hate me? And then I found out, he told me later, he was just effing around.
That's his thing.
Yeah. That's funny.
Michael Bublé, 39 years old today. Michelle Williams is 34. And DJ Afrojack is 27 years old today. Afrojack's my favorite breakfast cereal, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's cinnamon, toasty, apple flavored.
Apple.
What?
Apple, not
Afro. Not Afrojacks? Oh, Afrojack. I was eating Afrojacks all these years.
They get stuck in your teeth a lot worse.
He's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Give me a little moment with. Are you going to get a little moment with?
Yeah.
Give me a little taste of a moment with.
I'd rather.
Come on.
Not.
Hit me.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
A pair of passes to the Brickleberry Season 3 premiere party. Season 3 of Brickleberry premieres on Tuesday, September 18th.
16th.
We owe somebody some money.
I think that
somewhere.
Went well. We'll take five callers right now. 1-800-520-1067.
One caller!
I can't really do memory. Have you guys noticed?
You were reading it!
It's not memory.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You were reading it off a page.
That was a mess. More than a moment. We need a new category.
A mess with Kevin.
It's 9:40, time for the Ralph Show Biz Beat.
Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Again, people have been calling in and asking me to repeat this information, but today is the day where Captain America the Winter Soldier is available on Blu-ray and DVD. And to celebrate, Marvel's having this very cool event down at the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Cahuenga Boulevard. Today, starting at 4 p.m., they are going to have a big vending machine there, and inside the vending machine will be flash drives. If you remember the movie, that plays an important part in the film because of the information about Hydra is located on a flash drive that Scarlett Johansson, as the Black Widow, finds inside the vending machine. Cap gets her the information that way. So what they're going to do is they're going to have this vending machine full of hundreds of these flash drives, and on each of them, you'll have to get it read, but on each of them it will have a prize inside of it. For example, you can get limited edition Marvel comic books artwork, original artwork, posters for the movie signed by Chris Evans. And amongst these amazing prizes will be two tickets to the premiere of The Avengers Age of Ultron, the next Avengers film.
How about that?
Which is pretty awesome. Anyway, it all starts at 4 p.m., corner of Sunset Boulevard and Cahuenga Boulevard. You can get your zip drive and then find out what you've won there in the vending machine celebrating Captain America the Winter Soldier. Also, they're going to be signing the DVDs and Blu-rays. The directors of The Winter Soldier, Anthony and Joe Russo, will be inside Amoeba Records signing the discs at 6 p.m. You can check that out if you want to meet those guys. So there's all your information. Bad news. Avicii has announced he is canceling his entire upcoming tour.
Really?
Yeah. The dance music star says he doesn't feel quite up to snuff after he had his gallbladder and appendix removed back in March. That's a lot to have removed. That's a couple more major organs there they're taking out of
you. It is, and it was in March. I mean, it was half a year ago.
He still hasn't recovered.
Wow.
So he's going to go home. He's going to rest up in Stockholm. He'll be releasing a new album before the end of the year, but in terms of his live performances, he's going to sit it out for a while, which is understandable.
Giving up a lot of dough. Those guys make $350,000 to $500,000 a night
to show up.
Yes.
Hit a button.
Yep.
Wicka, 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 wicka.
It's crazy what they make.
Bieber's off the hook, sadly, in Toronto.
Come on.
They have dropped charges against him for allegedly beating up a limo driver back in December. Problem was, there were 5 other people in that limo besides Bieber when the driver was roughed up for allegedly not having the right music on. And it's unclear as to who actually did the punching from behind as they beat up this limo driver. So prosecutors in Canada apparently have dropped the charges against the Biebs.
So he had the wrong music on.
Yeah.
And then he got beat up for that.
Yes.
Okay.
But apparently no one will be charged with that crime. Mm. So Bieber's only got the new case of him hitting photographers after that incident between a photographer's car and his ATV last week. So
come on, death penalty.
Yeah, really. We have to hold on to that one, we hope. Taylor Swift says she's got a feud going with another female pop singer. She told Rolling Stone magazine that the song Bad Blood on her new album is about a female artist that she thought was her friend till that person did something horrible to her.
Ugh. She is eternally in seventh grade.
She said the argument wasn't even over a guy. It was about something regarding a professional issue. Now, she won't say who the person is, but inside sources claim it's Katy Perry. Which gives me even another reason to love Katy Perry.
Really? Well, Katy Perry wins. Can we rule in this case right now?
This is the backstory. Apparently, some of the dancers on Taylor Swift's 2013 Red Tour left that tour to go dance for Katy on her Pyrismatic tour. She stole some dancers from her.
How is that not an obvious decision on their parts?
It is, and that's why they did it. So, bad blood. Yeah. Katy Perry wins again.
And Katy Perry wins all. She wins everything.
Britney Spears broke up with her boyfriend Dave Lucado. Remember this? I told you the story. They were on a break, he claims. And when some video surfaced of him having sex with another woman.
Were they on a break for like one day?
Like a day. He took advantage of that day to the fullest extent. Turns out that woman in the video was an adult film star named Callie Lee. She's been in such classics as Fresh Out of High School 14. Well, looks like Jamie Spears, Britney's dad, has purchased the footage, so we'll never see the light of day as to not to embarrass his daughter.
Her dad bought it.
Yeah, really.
Ugh.
But dad's not in it. It's dad's boyfriend. I mean, it's his daughter's boyfriend with someone else.
Yeah, I know.
Porn star.
So it makes it gross.
It would be grosser if she was in it.
Yes,
Kevin.
It would be.
That would be grosser.
I'm not saying it was the grossest thing ever.
Not gross. It's not gross if it's some dude and some other chick you don't know.
Don't hate, man.
You don't know.
Well, that's obvious.
That
but
is
don't
obvious.
Hate.
And Holly Madison, you remember her?
Bitch.
No, come on. She was one of the girls next door, Hugh Hefner's girlfriend.
Right.
She got married in Disneyland.
She's a bitch.
She is not. She's a lovely young lady. Pasquale Rotella is the name of her husband. They got married a year ago in Disneyland. They returned this week to Disneyland with their toddler, Rainbow, their little
Come
girl.
On, Rainbow.
To celebrate their one-year anniversary.
Rainbow.
They love Disneyland.
But Rainbow.
They got married on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride a year ago.
That's
And she said they absolutely love Disneyland. They're going to celebrate every major occasion in their lives at Disneyland. It's time for us to do this as a phone-in topic. We got to talk to some of these people.
Disney freaks?
Some of these Disney people. Because
there are a lot of people who go every week.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And do everything there and live their lives there. And all things Disney are their things.
Yeah, well.
And I enjoy Disneyland. Don't get me wrong.
I
think
too.
It's the happiest place on earth. I enjoy the films of Walt Disney.
Everything they do is great.
Enormously.
Uh-huh.
Frozen is a major part of my life at home with a 4-year-old daughter. I enjoy their work.
What's up?
But what's up with the people who are Disney nuts, who are so celebrate all their special occasions there, who collect the pins. If there's a new pin out, they like stand in line and stuff. There are some Disney freaks out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Like David came out ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I just go
what's
there
up?
To have a beer. I go to Disneyland to drink a beer. Well, you can't get beer anywhere else.
He said that. We were like, you can drink anywhere.
No, but then it's Disney. You go there and you're drinking beer in Disney. Like, how many bars do you pass on the way to Disneyland?
I think he has to do it at California Adventure, right? I don't think
You can actually drink it at Disneyland.
Downtown Disney. Oh, right? You can, okay. Right? Yeah, if you go down there.
Isn't and California there? Adventure.
Yeah.
California Adventure, too, yeah. But I don't know where he goes. I just know he just a lot of work.
He passes a lot of places that serve alcohol.
Ariel's Grotto is a full bar. Come on.
Oh. Right.
Jesus. Ariel's Grotto. Ariel's I think Grotto. I rented that once. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant, 54 years old today. Adam Sandler's 48. Eric Stone Street. We love Eric Stone Street here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He used to love us, too. He used to come on all the time.
Right? He's great. Mm-hmm. He's awesome.
Yeah. I guess it was that second Emmy. The second Emmy did us in with him. He's 43 today. Michael Bublé is 39. Michelle Williams turns 34. And DJ Afrojack celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Everybody is sort of freaking out in the tech world.
What happened? What
right
happened?
Now, because Apple's about to, in 12 minutes.
12 minutes.
At 10 o'clock, they're going to tell us
Apple
all about. iPhone 6. And everybody's guessing.
I heard it's got a vibrator.
About all the details. Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Ashley Esqueda from CNET is going to be in studio tomorrow to tell us all about the iPhone 6.
Excellent.
Awesome.
We also have Scott Mitchell, who is on the Biggest Loser, Glory Holes. Glory Days. Glory Days.
What the?
Glory
what?
Days. It's called Glory Days.
He is a former NFL quarterback.
That's why I can't believe that you, Ralph Garman, would
I
say that.
I can't believe you would say that about him, and now he's going to rough you up.
Plus, a special evening with Coldplay. We've got your tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.